We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season...
What happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navi and tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Buy new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host, LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vassar.
Welcome to Dodger Talk. I am not hiding. Even after a 12-1 loss to the Texas Rangers by the Los Angeles Dodgers here at Dodger Stadium, we are with you until midnight at 866-987-2570. Ned Coletti is not hiding either. He will join us at 11:45 unless he doesn't pick up his phone, which I don't believe will happen. He's a stand-up guy, and he will join us at 11:45 tonight. We are taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Trevor Bauer's least impressive performance with the Dodgers was tonight. 6 1/3 innings, 9 hits given up, 4 earned runs, 6 total, and he also allowed 4 stolen bases. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, he stole 4 of them. Or 3 of them off of Bauer. He actually stole second and third base in a sequence during the early innings of tonight's game. So even though Trevor Bauer said on one of his recent vlogs that he was conscious of trying to get better at holding runners, that did not happen tonight, and he just did not have good command of his pitches, and he threw 117 of them. He did say he felt better as the game went on, which is... That's fair, and I'm not going to disagree with him if that's what he felt, but early on in this game, it kind of felt like the Dodgers were not ready to play. Mookie Betts dropped a routine fly ball coming in to lead off the third inning on a fly ball by Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and that led to 2 runs. So that was problematic, and then, no matter what you think about the pitches you're throwing, when you allow a 160 hitting catcher to hit a 2-run home run off of you, that is not good. And that's what happened tonight. Jonah Heim hit a 2-run home run off of Trevor Bauer in the 4th inning. Jonah Heim was 0 for his last 13, and tonight he had 3 hits, 3 for 5 with that 2-run home run. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. The Dodger offense couldn't do much tonight against left-hander Coby Allard, who is now 2-2. Coby Allard is just another in a long line of left-handers this season that has stifled the Dodger offense. Dodgers against lefties this year makes me remember Dodgers versus left-handers in 2018. For whatever reason, it's not working for them this year. And a big reason why is because Mookie Betts has not hit left-handers since 2018. His last year in Boston, he didn't hit left-handers. And Justin Turner was the only one that actually could do something off of Allard tonight. The Dodgers against left-handers this year are hitting .226 with a .715 OPS. And that's very 2018 of the Dodgers so far this season. So at every turn, teams are going to try to throw left-handers at the Dodgers until they prove that they can hit them. It's just a fact. And they're going to be missing a guy that hits from the left side and can hit left-handers in Max Muncy, who officially did go on the 10-day IL with a right oblique strain. And yeah, the Dodgers lost the game tonight 12-1. You don't want to lose that way to a 25-40 team. But the Dodgers have a bigger concern in how they're going to navigate without Max Muncy. Max Muncy was named by his manager, along with Chris Taylor, last week as being the most valuable players of this team so far. They're losing a big part of their offense without Max Muncy. And I don't care what Dave Roberts said after the game, that they're hoping that they get him back after 10 days. I'm sure they are hoping for that. I just don't see that happening. oblique strains don't recover within 10 days, if that's what this is, and that's what we're being told it is. Zach McKinstry just came back after missing a month with a right oblique strain. So how can you tell us this is only going to take 10 days? I'm sure that's wishful thinking, because the Dodgers cannot afford to have Max Muncy miss that many games, especially with the way other players are swinging the bat inconsistently so far. And Mookie Betts tonight was 0 for 3. Last night, he was the only one of their starting players, including the pitcher, Clayton Kershaw, that did not get a hit. So he's still scuffling and hasn't been able to really get the consistency in his at-bats. It seems like his front shoulder is pulling out. And I'm not just saying that because I'm David Vasse, the hitting coach from the radio booth, but I've talked to a few all-star former MVPs that have seen the same thing. So they're the ones that are seeing it, and hopefully Mookie sees it soon, because from what I've been told from guys that know and have done it at a high level, the reason why Mookie Betts has not been able to string together a number of games is because his front shoulder is not connected to the front leg. The front leg is coming down and his left shoulder is flying out. And that's what some players that watch the Dodgers are seeing from Mookie Betts. So either way, it's been a disappointing first 2.5 months for Mookie Betts. He's hitting .248 with an OPS of .797. But, you know, these type of games are going to happen. I'm not going to overreact. I'm going to stay calm and not get emotional. But I am very concerned about this Dodger offense without Max Muncy. That's not something I'm going to remain calm about. It is definitely nervous time if Max Muncy is going to miss an extended period of time. The Dodgers have sustained more injuries this year to key players than ever before during the string of 8 consecutive NL West Division Championships. And I feel like with all that, they're in a great spot at 38-26, fortunate to only be 2 games back of the San Francisco Giants, who have the best record in baseball at 40-24. Let's go out to the phones. Donald, who is, according to our guy, Colin Yee, right outside of Dodger Stadium. Hi, Donald.
Hi, David. It's clearly an upsetting game, a lot of upset Dodgers fans, but it's important to keep in mind that we still have talent and there's nothing we can't improve. Like Trevor Bauer's delivery to home plate is lower than Albert Pujols running to first. Yeah, Rangers.
All right. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I guess a rare Rangers fan in Los Angeles. I've never met a Rangers fan in L.A. I was with the team in Texas for 3.5 weeks during their playoff run. I didn't see any Texas Ranger fans out there either. So Adrian Beltre might have been the only Ranger fan that I've seen here at Dodger Stadium. Let's go out to Patrick in Pennsylvania. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, David. Always a pleasure. You know, a lot of the managers are talking about a mercy rule. 10-0, 11-1, 12-2.
No.
You know, something like that.
Absolutely not, Patrick. Absolutely not. This is Major League Baseball. Get the outs. Wait.
David, it's not Major League Baseball when you put a runner at second base. Tonight, the Yankees lost to the Phillies. Chapman came in, gave up a run. He gets credit for the loss, but he doesn't get credit for giving up the run. What kind of rule is that?
It's a weird rule, and I'm still on the fence about it. I don't feel like it's really speeding up games or accomplishing what they intended to, because hitters in today's game are not trying to move the runner over. They're trying to swing for the fences, even though situational hitting is presenting itself right in the first extra inning. But sorry, Patrick, I'm not buying into the mercy rule.
And you know what, David? Jack Peterson hit his 9th home run today for the Cubs. And I talked to you the night he got ripped up in that home run derby. Remember that home run he hit that he never got credit for?
Yeah. Yeah, Jock Peterson is in one of those hot streaks right now for the Cubs, Patrick. And I'm happy for him. I like Jock Peterson. And frankly, the Dodgers are missing a little Jock pop this year, especially with Cody Bellinger being hurt as much as he has been this year, and when he's been in the lineup, understandably, has not provided that Cody pop. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Catherine in Los Angeles. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse.
Well, hello, David. I'm excited that I got a hold of you. I've called before, and this is the first time I've gotten through. But I want to say that, and I love the Dodgers. They're the only sports team that I follow, and I listen to every game. But
that's
wanted to say something that I have noticed, and I'm sure there must be some statistics because they keep statistics of everything. But when the Dodgers win a game, like with a a score of 10, 12, 15, whatever, the next day they all stop hitting. So I've noticed they're either all hitting or they're all not hitting. Just like yesterday, today, now nobody's doing anything. So what is that?
It's called boom or bust. And I feel like that's what this offense has been like this year, boom or bust. Not a lot of consistency. That's for sure. And I was a little nervous when Coby Allard was on the mound. I know he hasn't established himself as a major league pitcher yet this in his career. But when there's a left-hander on the mound, I'm a little concerned about whether or not the Dodgers are going to be able to score runs. And tonight they were not able to. The only run they got was after Allard was out of the game when A.J. Pollock hit a home run to center field. The Dodger offense, can't say it enough, only hitting .226 against lefties this season. And it's actually a little surprising that they have a winning record against left-handed starters this year. They're 12-7 against left-handed starters despite only hitting .226. And I feel like I'm going to credit the Dodgers starting pitching for keeping them in those type of games to give them the opportunity to win those games. Tonight, that was not the case. Trevor Bauer may have had his poorest performance as a Dodger this season. Gives up 6 runs in 6 1/3 innings, and the Dodgers fall to the Texas Rangers 12-1. When we continue here on Dodger Talk live from Dodger Stadium, we will check in with Ned Colletti as the Dodgers are looking to turn the page tomorrow and win the series on AM 570 LA Sports.
AM 570.
Dodger Talk is available on AM570LASports.com and on the iHeartRadio app. Back to more Dodger Talk with Dodger insider David Vasse.
Stuff that's on players' hats, gloves, belts, and there's a fly ball to center field. Well hit. Way back there at the wall and gone. A home run. A.J. Pollock over the wall and straight away center field. His 5th home run of the year. The Dodgers will not be shut out. With a home run for Pollock, the Dodgers have 82 on the year, but they're still trailing by a wide sum. Texas 6 and the Dodgers 1.
A.J. Pollock prevents the Dodgers from being shut out for the first time in, 135 games? But they still fall to the Rangers by a final score of 12-1. The 12 runs the Rangers scored tonight are the most that they have scored since May 16th, 2019, and they also snap a 6-game road losing streak. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Daniels Jewelers Home Run Forecast congratulates James Costin of Los Angeles, who receives a $50 Daniels Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in the game. For your chance to win a $50 gift card good at over 100 Daniels locations, go to AM570LASports.com and type in the keyword home run. All right, let's check in with Ned Colletti from the Sportsnet LA studios. Ned, last night the Dodgers won 12-1. Tonight, Trevor Bauer just did not seem to have it early, and they go on to lose 12-1.
Yeah, his fastball wasn't bad. His slider wasn't bad. But his command, as far as where the pitches were, was not up to his typical standards. Interesting game in a lot of different ways. I can't remember the last time I watched two teams play where position players finished games back-to-back nights. Last night was Charlie. Tonight was Burns. It's kind of interesting that's where both teams found themselves in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I thought baseball was trying to prevent that from happening, but in these type of games, it has not happened. As far as the game goes, it's one of those games in a 162-game season. No matter if you win a World Series or lose 100 games, they seem to happen. But I wanted to ask you more about where the Dodgers go from here with Max Muncy going on the injured list with a right oblique strain. I know the Dodgers are trying to have positive thoughts that he'll be back after 10 days, but I really believe that you and I and they know that's probably not going to happen. So how do they navigate without him?
Well, it's not going to be easy, and I think a couple thoughts from that. I mean, typically an oblique is going to take you a month unless they really caught it at the very, very beginning of it, and it's probably tough to do because it's not the type of injury that you can kind of do halfway. You know,
it's not a cold.
So it's probably going to be a while for him. And at the same time, you got Bellinger with a hamstring issue, which I think now they really need to be careful with because you can't lose him now for 3 weeks, 4 weeks after losing him for 40 plus games earlier. So they're going to have to maneuver with that. I think you'll see when Cody's ready to play that you'll see him at first base. I think take some of the grind of playing center field off his legs for a little while. Play him at first. Play Albert at first. Play CT3 in center field a lot, and they've got different options, thankfully. But I think they're going to have to be careful with Cody for a little while here, and you've got the maneuverability and the versatility that so many of these players have. But again, you're starting to get back into a stretch of time now. You've got, you know, they had Pollock out and Zach out and Bellinger and then Seager after that. And as you said last night, Seager's starting to throw a little bit and starting to get active out there. So maybe it's a couple weeks away for him. But, you can't keep losing guys that are key players in your lineup. And they certainly cannot lose Cody now. But with Max down, you got two of your bigger, better left-handed hitters, plus Seager still out. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot to be losing. I don't think that San Francisco is going to maintain where they're at. I could be wrong. San Diego's in a tough stretch right now. But you can't really worry about them as much as you worry about yourself.
What about the guys that are playing? I feel like that's the biggest concern. Yeah, Chris Taylor and Max Muncy were talked about as being the team MVPs. What about the guys that are healthy that are playing? That's the one that I'm concerned about, that they're not playing up to their potential.
Well, Mookie's had a rough go here for a couple months now. Had a hesitation start on the ball he dropped in center field, but you don't see him as a 250 hitter. And it's through 60 some games. That's where he's sitting right now. He's such a valuable player. I still don't know if he's completely healthy. I don't know. I think that it would have been, watching him play and how he loves and is passionate about the sport and the Dodgers. When you've got three guys out or four guys out with Zach, you got the Pollock and Cody and Corey. If he was having any issue, he was probably going to play through it. And I think that may be what he's done and maybe what he's still doing as a team. Offense kind of sputters from time to time. So maybe he's not 100%. Maybe he wasn't and now is getting back to it and maybe developed a bad habit or two along the way. But he's somebody, obviously, that's the engine for this club and gets things moving. We saw it certainly the first few weeks of the season, him and Seager hitting 1-2 and just really grinding out at bats early in games and running pitch counts out, and we see it from time to time, but we don't see it as often as we've seen it in the past. But you still got almost 100 games to go. But again, you do need some of the guys that do run out there every day to pick it up and to carry it for a while.
Ned Coletti is joining us, and before I let you go, Ned, nobody's really talked about this during the series, but Cowboy Joe West is the crew chief for this umpiring crew, and 2 weeks ago he broke the record for the most games umpired. As a GM, how much did you interact with umpires, and do you have a relationship with Cowboy Joe?
Well, I used to see Cowboy Joe quite a bit back in my early baseball days with the Cubs. We would run into each other a lot many times when we were Astros in the National League and the Cubs were playing down there. I'd end up seeing him and having a beer or something with him after a game. Ran into him in Chicago about 5 or 6 years ago, I think. Maybe he did the 2016 World Series, perhaps. I was doing some radio back in the hometown and ran into him there, too. You know, the record he broke is pretty amazing when you think about it. He missed a year when they had some umpire either strike or something. You know, he missed 1 year of his career, but he also, the record he broke was Bill Clem's record. Bill Clem was born 9 years after the Civil War ended. So, you know, that record had been sitting out there for quite a while. But as my career advanced, I would say hello to umpires at the postseason. You always have a meeting before the first game of any series, you and the manager and the other GM and the other manager with the umpiring crew to go over ground rules and make sure everybody understands how they're going to call games and what to look for. But I kind of relegated it to that after, you can't – it's tough to be friends with somebody that really has a lot of say in how a game is going to turn out. So I kind of put that on the side and just, wished everybody well and hope that you don't notice them. It's better not to notice an umpire or referee in any sporting event when you don't notice them. They're doing a good job.
All right, Ned, thanks a lot for the insight. We'll check in with you tomorrow after the day game.
All right, Dave. Talk to you then. Thank you.
There he goes, Ned Coletti, joining us from parts unknown, but he's Sportsnet LA studio analyst and former Dodger GM. Tomorrow, Walker Buehler will be on the mound for the Dodgers trying to win the series. He's 5-0 with an ERA of 2.56 going up against Dane Dunning for the Rangers, who is 2-4 with an ERA of 4.26. Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck begins at noon. First pitch at 1:10. Thanks to Colin Yee back at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald out here at Dodger Stadium. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast it on the iHeartRadio app or at am570lasports.com. And also, before the game today, we had a great conversation with Julio Urias. If you want to check that out on those two platforms, am570lasports.com or on the iHeartRadio app. Once again, the final score from Dodger Stadium tonight, the Rangers defeat the Dodgers by the same score the Dodgers defeated the Rangers last night. 12-1, Texas gets the win. Have a great night. See ya. From the side.